use my brain for you, and use it to write songs for you. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of the best of me. Oh love, my heart's only built for two. You won't wear me up 'cause I'm the perfect shoe. You're getting all of the best of me, 'cause I'm giving all of my best. Truth in me, you light up my heart with possibilities. I'm getting everything I need, 'cause you're giving everything to me. You are forever in my destiny, woven into it like a tapestry. Your love is everything to me, 'cause you're giving everything I need.
Concern about Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's just my own little personal poll, because I deal with people on a regular basis. You know, I make it an effort, because that's, you know, I mean, even though I'm retired, that don't mean I'm retired from the work of the kingdom. And when I'm talking to people, I find they really just don't believe or know that this, we're coming to part two of life. You know, I remind people that it's not, that the Bible doesn't say it's the end of the world or the earth at this particular time. It's the end of an age. And pretty much where man is, it has dominion as he is. He's going to be changed. Amen. All the people that have passed on have changed. We've talked about that, but amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we're going to still talk about that today. Amen. We're still talking about power and love, which is the essence of the entire Bible. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God Jehovah. Amen. The blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost that he sent back to be our teacher, our guide, and our comforter. Amen. The Pastor Gerald Overall, Running for Christ Ministries, and his lovely wife, Sheila, my sister-in-law, which is such a great blessing to my life. All the saints of Running for Christ, amen, asking for God, Word of Faith, hallelujah, my own church, International Christian Center in Southfield, come visit us. Amen. I say praise the Lord. Well, the word is the solution. You know, I can see why the suicide rate is so high, but to God, they would have hope. We have a blessed hope, and I'm finding that more and more. Let's go before the throne of grace, amen. Let's bring God and turn this over to the Holy Spirit. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so gracious and so kind and so loving and so merciful. We do thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We do thank you, amen, because we do not take it lightly because it did not come with a light price. It cost the son, the life of your first begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross, suffering the degradation that we should have suffered, suffering the pain that we should suffer. You even went to hell in our place, but you came back. You were resurrected, and I thank you for all that you've done and are still doing. And I thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit, and we welcome you to be in charge. We ask that you give us the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding more to grow so that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us who will submit and obey you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Bless us to know your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. And Father, right now, I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm still here, but the countdown is still on. It's like astronauts sitting on the launch pad and just waiting for instructions to hit the button and fly off into another dimension. And that's where we're headed. I think sometimes this is so tremendous that it has, I know with me, it's kind of shocking, but you know, I thank God I feel no fear. You know, leave here, we go to the judgment seat of Christ, which is a lot different. We have to give account for every deed. It says, give account for every deed done in the flesh, whether it be good or bad. The good thing is we don't have to pay for it. We don't have to be, oh, man, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We don't have to pay for it. But see, this is the thing about this life, accountability. Now, and when you think about what God is offering us, that's very little. But you see with some people, when you meet people, yeah, reach out to people and talk to them and observe their resistance and their excuses and reasonings. And it's amazing. And if you know the word, you'll see how far off. Just listen to them. You know, that I am a good person. Yeah, based on what? You know, it's not based on the word of God. Because, you know, and even y'all find this with Christians. And that's, I don't know, you would think, I know in my case, I'll put it like that. I'm fine-tuning. I'm fine-tuning. I mean, really making sure I count my ducks, make sure they doing what they supposed to. But, I've been working at this for a long time, really because, I'm getting older. I mean, every time I think about it, you know, I'm still pulling phone numbers out of my phone from people that are no longer here, you know. But anyway, so we're talking about power and love. We begin with Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and Jesus said that you shall receive power, dunamis. Now, it's amazing because I just happened to look up the, let me read this to you. This is Acts chapter 7. It says, and he said unto him, now this was Jesus in his last visit with the apostles, disciples, before he drifted off into space. And that in itself is awesome. We ought to talk a little bit about that. And he said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And there's lots of information floating on YouTube about that now. Listen, anybody trying to tell you, you don't have to have Jesus in order to make it to heaven, that, my friend, is a liar, okay? But this word here, power, as compared to the word power in the next verse, is exousia. So it's a different level. This is why we read the Bible in this original language, so that we get clarity on what it is talking about. Now, but again, in this case, what's critical is I frequently hear people quote and leave God out of it, when that's the central essence of the verse in reality, or what it, when you bring God in it, that gives you more revelation, okay? Because that means that God knows. Now, if God knows and it's printed in the Bible, that means that God wants you to know. Now, listen, that was written 2,000 years ago. There's a lot of things that was going to come to pass that had not come to pass, particularly the nation of Israel, have been scattered 450 years or so before Christ even showed up. And they remain, think about that. God recalled an entire nation generations later and gave them the land that he promised that he would give them. So you really need to get include all that in your mind, in your study of what is going on. It's not separate. It is part of, because that's the key factor. Israel is the major factor in the last days. They are going to be attacked. That is going to bring about World War III, which sadly, I believe, when you understand how war lives, where I live is either going to get EMP and the people be enslaved, or it's just going to get nuked and wiped out. I won't be here. So, you know, I'm in that group that believe that the rapture will occur before all that occurs. But Israel emerges the winner of that battle. Okay, so again, we're talking about power and authority. Now, where is that power? Where is that authority? It's within you. It is within you. And again, you should be linking your mind with God. You should be seeking God for revelation on how to use it. Because right now, if God is not going to do miracles, with believers, but he really wants us to, the point of a miracle is the revelation of the superior power of God. Now, in America, we have become, it's a term I can't think of, complacent is the closest I can come to in the body of Christ, unlike in the Middle East where there's great growth of Christians in there and in China. The risk and the peril of their lives of being tortured and murdered, they still coming to Jesus in droves, in thousands weekly. In Africa, where, you know, I have a picture that was given to me, and it is a sad reminder. Every now and then I post it on Facebook, where they just slaughtered some Christians, just slaughtered them. I mean, cut them up in pieces. But what? They were honorable people. They were honest people. But, you know, I think about this, too. When you're in a situation like that, this is the reason you have to stay in tune with God. There's a level of power. Satan does not have more authority. We become so, I can only use the term religious side, that is some things we just don't believe we have access to. For instance, defensive use of the power of God. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 13. And we're going to read, I believe, verse 8. This is one of those situations. Now, let me make one more change here. Okay. One more. Now, this is Paul. Now, I spoke a little bit. I mentioned the prayer of imprecation. I've only heard one preacher preach on that. And it really, and I noted that he was kind of hesitant because, you know, once I did further study on it myself, I was going to make a video, and the Holy Spirit said no. Because there's criteria surrounding such an event as this. And I'm not at this specific time given to teach on that. But again, at the same time, you as an individual, as I as an individual, were not prohibited from seeking God. Because God works like this. Now, if you ask him today and he don't answer, don't think that that means that he has decided he will not answer. Because he will, I guarantee you. See, God doesn't have a watch or a calendar. I offered to buy one, and he said, I don't need it. But, you know how you get one of those situations like God taking too long. You know what's going on. But, yeah, in your case, he does. You know, that's another whole revelation right there, that statement. In your case, he does. Okay? That is not in everyone's case. But you really, man, I'm telling you, this thing is just, God is unfolding things that I don't know when I forgot all about them. But it's just some things, some questions I had that's deep. You really got to understand, when you have received Jesus Christ, you have something the world don't have, and you are in a position they are not in, and that's going to become very clear very soon. There's some people, they got I call them the high hopefuls. You know, ain't nothing wrong with being highly hopeful. I'll be hoping they're right, but at the same time, the Lord keep reminding me of some things that have not yet come to pass. So they're high hopefuls. They got good grounds. They're looking at scripture and alignment, and we are in the season of the rapture, but I don't think tomorrow is the day, you know. But anyway, so here it is. Let's just read this right quick. We're in Acts chapter. This is Paul handling his business. It says, I'm going to start with verse 6. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, named was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. The man called Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a darkness fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, this type of prayer situation is an immediate judgment, and the person is under judgment. And then that right there is another whole situation. Right there, okay? Now, see, you're finding this, and it's really interesting, and I can see why Holy Spirit is going this way. Right now in America, you have many cultures coming into this country, and they are bringing with them their culture, and a lot of them have practices that are centered around demonic activity. Now, you know, I was reading later on in the book of Acts where Paul went to Ephesus, and there was a lot of idol worship in Ephesus. And that's because this is the deal. See, power is available. There's the right use and the wrong use. There's right access and wrong access. See, what Satan does is provoke and pervert the use of the power that exists. See, he knows that man has dominion in the earth. See, both God and Satan has to use it. Now, I understand you really, Christians really have to be focused, have to be knowledgeable about this because, you know, throughout history, I've seen people engage in practices before and after I became knowledgeable of the Word of God. This issue was say they opened the door for the enemy. Now, per se, in this situation, I don't particularly think you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and engage in this. You have to admit, it's possible, and the Bible gives clear warning that if you do such, you will not only suffer and end up in hell, there's a part of hell that's hotter for you than an unbeliever. I mean, this is serious business, folks. This is not religion. See, now Paul is carrying out the Word of God. Now, some of y'all may be sent on a mission around the world. So you know, you may want to seek God about this because, again, just like you see craziness kicking up, you see satanic activity kicking up in the weather, and you see satanic activity. Like, take those situations in those cities where these children are running in and stealing from these stores. That's all. That's activity that isn't being suppressed by the prayers of the righteous. You know, and it's particularly, I'm going to go on past that, but I'll just put it like this. God ain't lost any power. Satan hasn't gained any power. The person that accesses the power isn't utilizing the power at the degree that is necessary. You know, again, I refer to a statement that now my pastor introduced to us. It's called every prayer failure. Every failure is a prayer failure, and every success is a prayer success. One is you got to understand that there's always somebody praying somewhere, and the Holy Spirit is omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent. And when he's operating in a person, he can have a person in Spain praying for me, because he's fully aware of what I need at the time. Now, the challenge comes is that he can't always get somebody to cooperate. See, you know, somebody posted on Facebook today about this supposedly cessation group of ministers. And basically what they're about is they're going to waste their time trying to teach why God don't do miracles anymore. I would have just one question for them. Can you say that you went before God, sought him about whether or not he still do miracles? Because, see, when you talk to a person like me that has had two of them, you know, I can't buy that. I mean, I'm not older than the apostles, okay? It began. Why do I remember November 16, 1976? I was there. I knew what kind of drugs was in my system. I knew how frequently I did them. I knew how heavy I did them. I knew all about me. So for me to flip, I tell you, I got changed so fast it scared some people, especially my hoodlum friends. They thought I was going to snitch them out, okay? And then I recently talked about when I crashed the motorcycle. I remember when I was going. I remember seeing the speedometer. I remember asking God, was I going to die? And he said, no. I'm like, oh, it's going to hurt. I mean, that experience, it took me a while to grasp all that was going on with that. The miracles are when say you're going to die and you don't. It supersedes the natural, just totally override. When you use chemical drugs, Pastor O know what I'm talking about, you can get, I would say, thrown into a sober stage, semi-sober stage, but a total elimination of the drug from your bloodstream instantly, that don't happen. that takes power of God. With God, I can almost like hear God saying, "Nah, what you gonna do?" Because I was that, I was gonna prove there was no God. Mind you, how Satan had warped my mind. I wanted to take my sin to another level, and God like, "Nah, what?" but again, what is the purpose of all this? And I no question, people have abused this because right here, what we are reading. They are abusing. Look, you got what we read in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through the eye of the apostles, they found a certain sorcerer. Okay? The power is there. Witchcraft is illegal use of God's power. God, there is no power but the power of God. But now it's like having a weapon. There's a licensed weapon. There's an unlicensed weapon. This is unlicensed. This is unlicensed. And there are people, see, they want it, power, but they don't want to live right. That's what's behind it. And Satan knows, see, Satan perpetrates some activity. He can do some stuff. He can manipulate. You have to understand, he can manipulate the earth atmosphere. He the one who can cause the weather to be messed up and make you think, you know, you got power over the weather. He is the prince of the power there. This is also why I know we can override him, all right? Now, he was also a false prophet. And now this is kind of like an oxymoron. It just don't work for me. But anyway, a Jew by heritage, okay? But not by practice. I had to put that in there, okay? So, you know, and this is why you have to really be concerned. And you having the Holy Spirit, you need to, you don't make actions without God, okay? This is what, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You may not like God saying no, but there is a reason. He knows all things. You know, it's been a while ago, I went to this place, a brokerage. And this guy, man, had this, he was, because he really appreciated law enforcement officers. I mean, that boy was perfect. And when I heard Holy Spirit say no, he was going to sell it to me for the trade-in price. He wasn't going to add nothing to it. That's it. Okay? And I'm like, this God. And then he said no. And all I'm doing now, I'm working on keeping my mouth shut. Because in the end of the day, one, you always want everything, you want your life to stay as close as in alignment with God as you can. Because that right there is when you will always feel assured of accessing his power for both offensive and defensive purposes. See, now this is the criteria around Paul. We pretty much know how Paul lived his life. He wrote it down. Okay, so for him to access this, think about what is going on here. Now, there were times when Paul, later on when he was at Ephesus, they beat him. He did not call on the power of God to hurt anybody. But look at the classification of these people here. It says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name, withstood them. Okay. Now, that was in verse 8, as a matter of fact, for those that are following. Now, again, let's look at all that's going on here, because you're going to see this. One of the main things that Jesus warned about in the last days was about deception. And people, I've been seeing it all along. It's certain denominations I couldn't be a part of, period. They, you know, I just can't. One, I won't be part of you. Why not? I'm taking all that God can give, but I want to know what God want us to know. See, this is another thing that throw people off. If you got to get past that baby stage, you know, babies always won't. Don't want to give, don't want to share. Why not want to know why God does things the way he does? See, those are the questions that was on my mind. I wish I had asked them earlier. See, we have to, again, when you get caught up in religious tradition, you stay in that alignment. I did not want to get in prayer lines. I wanted to know why we were being attacked. I wanted to know the details. How, I just could not think that this is just what God wanted us to do. And at the same time, that's what I did not see in the Word. You know, I didn't see prayer lines. But, you know, I get it that they work for some people. And I have been, you know, healed in that manner when the Holy Spirit directed me within, from within, okay, because there are times when you need an additional anointing, and that's another whole level of power. That's another whole level of power. Hopefully we will get there today. But see, again, all of this is about the development of our spirit man, our God man, small g, okay? That's what the purpose of all this. And God wants us to understand what we are and who we are because of when we go to third gen, man, we at another whole level. Remember, I see right now, you know, we can call those things to be not, and they may or may not instantly happen. But in the next life, things going to be a whole lot different. And again, the anchor for staying in alignment with God is walking in love. You conscious of love. Meaning I'm God-minded, God-minded, God-minded. Holy is God-minded, God-minded, God-minded. Walking in love is God-minded, God-minded. Or as they used to say, what would Jesus do? People don't like that. That didn't last long. One, Satan came at people. They put the wristband on, and he came, well, let's see if you believe what would Jesus do. And it didn't last. Notice that if you think back, if you were familiar with what I'm talking about, them wristbands didn't last very long. But anyway, all right. So, again, you got to get what happened with Paul. How he got to this place, Paul was a Pharisee. He himself was Jewish. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as he put it. I mean, Paul had it all. He was the man. I mean, as he said it, okay. See what I'm talking about here. Let me make it short because I'm trying to stay on track here. Remember, I've said in the past, when you come to Christ, you're making a cultural change. And it could be family level, personal level, spiritual level. And this is the thing with God is accountability. So being submissive to him. See, what was going on was these guys was back then was putting curses on people. I've had people try to put curses on me, and it didn't work. And at the time, the first time, I was so new to the faith, and you know, when you're new to the faith, you're hiding on fire. You just believe everything, and it takes a while for Satan to try to wear you down and get you into back to doubting things because you don't realize God, unless you've been taught, as you mature, God does nothing requires you to do more. This is why I watch some saints struggle. If you're struggling and been struggling, you need to ask God where you should be. And he will tell you. He will walk you through the process. That's why he gave you his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not another spirit. It is God's holiness in you. And he's there to teach you, guide you, comfort you. See, because pastors are great. And you need a pastor because God created pastors. So, but they, you know, pastors can you know, they. You, when I go to the restaurant, I get my steak a specific way. My wife did hers a different way. So you can't, they can't give you everything you need. They can just give you the menu. And you got to choose. But now and then when you get it, you got to cut it up and chew it up. See, that's what church is about. You get served, but you got to cut it up and chew it up. See, and this is why he's taking so much time with this, because a lot of people I hear people praying and asking God to do things that he hasn't powered them to do, and because they're not involved with prophetic-type ministries, which is only pastors that pray a whole lot, a lot more than I do, you know, 2-3 hours, 4 hours, 5-8 hours a day, and they don't pray in English all that time either, unless they're making their petition or request known. See, that people denying themselves benefits. That's what, like that organization of pastors, okay, I get it, but they just, you know what's going to happen? They are telling the devil, Satan, this is where you can attack us at, okay? We will just, you give us cancer, we will just die. We won't be leaving it for a miracle, you know? They thought they like lambs going to the slaughter. I mean, because the whole point isn't an issue of, how great my faith is. My faith is as great as the word of God. It doesn't get any greater, really. But now what is the process? Each of us are different and have a different assignment in life, so God is not going to smorgasbord one-size-fit-all teachers. So it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to come to God as an individual. Even with what I'm sharing here, you supposed to go. I take stuff all the time back to God and say, explain this, that I hear my pastor say. Because if you listen to your pastor, he might say 3,000 words and only 10 of them are for you. So you got to take those 10 and go back and sit down and get your Bible out and say, okay, Lord, break this down for me. You know, such as I was doing before him. Because, I wasn't even thinking on this level. I got another whole level. Anyway, well, we about to go there. You really got to understand what you are, okay? Your soul. You have a mind, will, and emotion. That's your soul. Now, for the benefit of the, for the benefit of the new people, I just want to run through something right quick. And first, Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, so you can get some clarity on what's going on. Because, again, this is something that's going to be ongoing. I mean, if you don't get it now, they tell me you got to go to Sunday school every day when you're in heaven. You know, sit there all day. But and you have full cognizance. You have 100% use of your mind. So, you know. All right. So this, again, was Paul talking to the Thessalonians, another cultural change, Gentiles, as it was. The majority of the Bible is amazing. It was written to Gentiles. Okay. Now, I don't want to turn this into another mess. But the point here, let's look at this. It says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, so you are a spirit. You are a spirit. And you have a mind, will, and emotion. Now, that is expressed, and that is what reveals you to this world we live in. Your spirit, man, connects with God. God talks to your spirit, not your head. Your head is like Metroplex Freeway, too much stuff going through there. Your spirit, however, is what is central of your intelligence, of everything that you have learned from the day you left your mother's womb. Then when you connected with the Holy Spirit, it now has access to everything God knows, which is like being in a library and trying to read all the books, which would probably take a century in and of itself. You know, when I posted a video today, I mentioned the fact that you are always will be learning. And that's one because you are cognition and not omniscient. You are not all-knowing. You won't be, okay, whatever. But even at what you grow in knowledge, you can see what people do with knowledge. Some people do good. Some people plan evil. You know, a lot of things I see going on in these last days, and I'm so glad I know what the Bible say. I don't have to be concerned with their plan. All I know is don't get left behind. But the thing here, this part here, we want you to understand that you are a spirit. Now, let's read Ezekiel 20:32, right? Yep, 20:32, just right quick. And we're going to work on this thing a little bit. So, okay, that works. I'm catching, I'm learning something about this technology. The word here, it says, in, now this is God, same thing right here. I'm going to read verse 31. It says, when you offer your gifts and when you make your sons pass through the fire, you pollute yourself with idols. Even unto this day shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mouth shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, and to serve wood and stone. That's all that statement is God calling them stupid. Okay, but anyway, the point here is that this word mind here is the word, the same word that is used when you go back into, it's called Ruach, that is used, when God created Adam. Okay? And the picture I'm trying to get you to realize is, one, the likeness of God. Because, again, God is right now. So you got to get in. If you tune into him, you won't miss the excitement of the last minutes. Because God is going to do some spectacular things, and he will do things through you, and he can show you things that you can't know any other way but through him. I'm telling you. Ooh. Wait a minute, let me look at this right here. Okay. But anyway, where it said, then God, okay, and man became a, you know, best nephesh. Anyway, let's stick with the program. All right. Well, that is the program. See, again, we're trying to just kind of give you, your ability to think and function, okay, that comes from God. Your flesh isn't you. It's the house that you live in. And again, you are here to learn to manage that. That's why all the challenges that come to you in life. Why you have to make decisions, why you have, and to be able to make decisions, you have to have, the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is in, only comes through the word. You have to know, that allows you, it's like when you're dealing with children, particularly, and your parents need to really hear this. You know, you when you're dealing with your children, you want to teach them to become adults. Now, there's a process because they are children, and you only give them information as they're able to receive it. You really want to feed them that. Because like with my children, you know, that's how I dealt with them. As they asked questions, I gave it to them. I might have shared this before. I remember my oldest son had asked me what a sex change was. And so I broke out the Bible and Gray's Anatomy, and we went through the process. I don't even know if he remembers all that. But the point of the matter is that that's what we're here to learn. And right now, again, I can't overemphasize the fact of just being in tune with God. Because again, like I said, God made us in his image and his likeness. And that's critical now because, again, God reaches people. He's going to be using us. He's going to be exposing us to his power in a greater way. And I have great expectations for that. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that. So again, this is where, like I say, so this is the focus on that. Now, let's go back. We're gonna go all the way back now to Ephesians chapter 4, okay? And if you remember when we started out there, okay. Now this is the love action, okay? Well, we talked about the power and the love. And it says, Paul, I therefore, hold on, let me switch up here. Just bear with me for a moment. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love. Now that right there calls you to restrain yourself. You know, you have to do. You're going to get a lot of practice doing that, especially if you're married, or you're working in an environment with people. Because and then if you have, as I have had the experience, work with some people that you think should be thrown in a grinder and done away with. The reason God demands that we have such a mindset is because God has a full revelation of how they got to that state of being. Something that has been challenging for marriages is that oftentimes people marry someone without fully knowing how that person's character was formed. You don't know what their parents were like. You don't know what their siblings were like and the challenges that they may have gone through. And oftentimes, you know, people keep secrets such as sexual abuse, both male and female. I never knew how many males have been so sexually abused until I took this particular position at work where we were working alongside psychiatrists. And then I would hear them, because I had to be in there for security purposes, hear them relate to events that my mind could never conceive, being sexually abused by your own mother. You know, and again, you're talking about cultures that you hear of that this is not abnormal. You know, I don't know. I never really did. I didn't do the research on it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But I do know that you'll see that's another thing coming into this country right now, different marital cultural practices. Now, what God has assigned us to do is to attack it spiritually. You can't do that critically. You can only do that through prayer. And the prayer will only work if you are walking in love. See, this is what this is required. See, this is why Paul is telling them with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, because it's not common with humans. You know, I hate the position. A lot of times I don't even want to go on Facebook. When I get led to go on there, and then I find myself having to say something to somebody that I really just would rather let them be as they are. But again, that requires me to be in lowliness and gentleness and long suffering, because I know God has to be that way with me. I know my wife has to be that way with me. And that's what we're here to learn, is to reflect that back on each other. And it says where God reigns in our mind. Because, again, this all leads to third-gen man, the final makeup of man, with full power. full access to power. Think about that. Now, I mean, that's tremendous power. If you're not getting it, by all means, please ask God, Lord, what does it mean to have full access to your power? Because that's what's going to happen. Again, you got an example in Luke chapter 16. You got a communication, a conversation going on between two men, and there's a 500-year gap before the age of the Internet, long before the age of the Internet, and yet they communicate with each other. You know? I mean, they ain't got no cell phones, and they're talking to each other, you know? So we have to do that. Let's read some of this. And he says, I want to drop down to verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, which is us. A saint, what some people say, you know, saint is just anybody that has committed their life to Christ. You know, receive Jesus Christ, and they make an effort to commit themselves for the work of the ministry or the service of the kingdom of God, for the edifying of the body of Christ, who we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are not at the fullness of Christ. That you can be assured of, you know. But again, that ain't going to come without a challenge. Remember we talked about, we read in Zechariah 3 where Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side ready to resist. He exists for that purpose. Why? Because that's when somebody pushes you, you have to regain your balance. You know, you can't, if somebody pushes you, God is not going to balance you. You have to regain your balance. You wait on God, you're going to be flat in your face. Because he is intent on you learning how to use their power. You know, I learned quickly. I remember hearing a message years ago called Know What You Asking For. And I see people do that when they ask God for more faith. And how do you increase what God has given you? How do you treat? Listen, when I hear people and I'm near them, I'm like, you know, that's a prayer that gets answered instantly. But now there is only one way for you to know that he did it. What faith does, he has to increase the press against it, or I would say allow increase. So faith, in one of the elements of faith is you got to wait. You have to be patient. You have to trust God, and that means you have to be in a situation where the only thing you know is you have a promise from God, but that doesn't, and the pressure will come, and the time will look like a situation that's incredible and impossible, and yet you still have to wait on God. Now, and why? But what is going on? I am. Making my spirit relax, and I'm talking to myself with the word, okay? My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, that's a money need. Or by his stripes I was healed, 1 Peter 2:24. You know, in the midst of the pain, I shall recover. Or you're facing a long-term challenge, you know? You have to be able to do that, because next week we're going to talk about what comes out of your mouth, okay? Now, I want to skip down to verse 26. This is one of the things, some of the things, verse 25, because this will inhibit your ability to receive. And this is the part that what Satan tried to provoke you to losing access to your power. Now, he can't make you, you know, but if you don't know that you can't just allow yourself, let's listen at this right this, to be out of order. He said, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Don't be out there bragging about how much money you got that you ain't got, job you got you ain't got. You know, don't, you know, sometimes just shut up. I had learned to just shut up. You know, I would like to be entertaining with people, and then I just had to learn. I had to learn. That's what Paul talks about earlier on about Justin. Just be quiet. You know, and people would say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Y'all ain't in my conversation. I ain't in that conversation. You know, I was visiting some people yesterday, and they were in a conversation I don't get into. I'm still amazed at being in their 70s. Trying to brag on how many women they've been with. I'm like, really? And then y'all talk about how many diseases y'all catch. But anyway, be angry and do not sin. Verse 26 in Ephesians chapter. So you're going to get angry. That's understanding. Then it's called righteous indignation if you handle it right. Okay? It ain't that won't happen again. You have to bring your spirit. And in that process, don't be talking. Because you'll say something that you can't take it back once it came out of your mouth. That's where the sin come in. See, and if your spouse is in Christ, what you do to them, you're doing to Jesus. That's in Matthew chapter 18. Anyway, and in another place, but it's in there. Whatsoever you have done, Matthew chapter 25, toward the end. You read the whole chapter and study it anyway. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry, okay? Nor give place to the devil. Now, this is when I first got saved, it's like my Bible dropped open to this. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. You know, I was been offered an opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of it. I had to discuss it with my wife first. But see, there are things nowadays, you got access to the internet, and you can go on there and you can buy items, you know, from different websites at a lower price and sell it at a higher price. Ain't nothing wrong with some gain on there, okay? Put about 20% so you can move the product fast, but understand. And if you see God, if you stand in alignment with God, he'll tell you which products to buy and not to buy. The point in that is for you to develop a sensitivity to his voice that will work in every area of your life. Listen, and don't let nobody get you into that false humility. I just ask God for the basics. I don't want more than that. No, you don't want to work harder. Say it. You don't want to work harder. God is not. Listen, God is, he's a father. And fathers know they'll make their sons work and daughters. You know, why? Because all the things of the word comes into play. What we reading right here. I got to manage because you be driving in traffic and somebody cuts you off. You might have to lock your lips. I know I've had to many times. It said, let no corrupt word, this is verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good and necessary, edification, building up. That's what edification is, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Corrupt word, and it's some, you know, when I hear people that can cuss, curse, use profanity with ease. My prayer is for them to get a revelation of Jesus Christ, because to do that, you cannot have a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's just, Christians have him, have the Holy Spirit on the inside, so there's nothing you can say he don't hear. Okay, give his ears a break. That do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, which is very soon. There, we're in the last minutes, last seconds. We don't know. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is forethought, intention, you know. You got to be mindful of this, see? And then be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ hath forgave you. Hallelujah. Because if he hadn't, where would we be? You know, when you see somebody out there struggling, just ask yourself, what would you do if it was you? What would you want done if it was you? See, that's why my mindset learned. When I see somebody struggling, I see them. That tells me how God sees me when I am struggling. See, again, we're here. We're going to go through experiences in life, and as we go forward, the tumult may increase. But you may also utilize water power of God. But you have to be mindful, and you have to be in tune with Him, and you have to be submissive to Him. You know, you don't want an emergency situation. You know, I stay ahead of the game. This is what prayer does. Prayer keeps you ahead of the game instead of running with an emergency, you know. But I got some things going down that I've been told to deal with, and I've already made some actions toward that. Okay, God will let you know. John 16:13, part B, it said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, which is another reason why I know when we get closer, we are close to the rapture, because I'm seeing a shaking. It really is. I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking forward for any day. But anyway, this all begins with you making a decision to receive Christ. And you may have stumbled on this after the rapture. And that's a very strong possibility. Or you may just be thumbing through YouTube or radio, and you might find this on Facebook and never have received Christ. You might have been to church and sat down. You may be a great person. You may even be in a church serving, but you, yourself, never asked Christ to come into your heart. Legally, He cannot invade your privacy, just like the government supposed to get a warrant to invade your privacy, but that ain't always the case. But God always holds to that because He wants you to submit to Him out of love, because He will bless you out of love. He created this opportunity. And He wants you in His family, but it's a decision. Unlike your first family, the person that brought you here, this is a decision you make to become part of God's family. I hate to tell you this, but you're not part of God's family automatically. Okay, that's another whole story by itself. But you can become born into His family. It only takes you believing and saying this prayer. So, Lord God in heaven, I believe You are the only true God. And I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born into sin. And I ask forgiveness for all my sins. And I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved. I am born again. Hallelujah. And I thank You. You know, that's the amazing part about this. I know organizations that have this whole ritual, these ritualistic processes, not to get saved. And again, if you do come across that, tell me, show it to you in the Bible. People practice things like you can pray directly to God. Once you accept Christ, you are fully able to talk to God yourself. And if you find yourself, you're not going to be perfect. I've been at it 46 years. I ain't perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus. What God requires is accountability. And when you know you're wrong, don't make excuses. Ask God for guidance and acknowledge it. Okay? But anyway, just remember this too. Prayer is God trusting you with His power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Shalom. And if we haven't raptured out of here, we'll see you next week.
knew it, I almost blew it, but he got me through it. His love, his grace and mercy. At one time the devil cursed me, I was drowning off in my mess, but the Lord, he came and saved me like a damsel in distress. Yeah, now we are living and now we are giving. Blessings are piled to the ceiling. Anointed my head with oil, now look at my cup, it is spilling. My sins, he picked up the villain. He got all my enemies chilling. He made a way, I won't forget the feeling. I'll do whatever, just ask me, I'm willing. Willing, 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 willing. Yeah.